Radio Prague News. The police have cracked down on an international drug smuggling ring, arresting 7 people. The Czech Foreign Ministry says it has no reason to upgrade a travel warning for Czechs in Tunisia, but is advising vigilance. And Dvůr Králové Zoo is opening the first lion safari in Central and Eastern Europe this weekend. Police have cracked down on an international drug smuggling ring that recruited peddlers from the Czech Republic and Slovakia, the CTK news agency reports. The operation, which involved detectives from the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Great Britain, Turkey and Armenia, uncovered the route via which crystal methamphetamine was smuggled from Turkey and Armenia to Japan. 3 of the suspects were caught on Czech territory. The Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs says it has no information regarding an imminent terrorist attack in Tunisia and will not upgrade a travel warning for Czech tourists heading for the country. The ministry reassessed the situation on Friday morning after Britain called on its nationals to leave Tunisia without delay for fear of further attacks. The Czech Foreign Ministry currently recommends maximum vigilance from visitors to Tunisia and the avoidance of crowded areas and sites near the borders with Algeria and Libya. It also advises people not to travel to the country on an individual basis and, if so, to register with the ministry's travel database. The police have charged a 15-year-old boy who fired several shots at a bus in Plzeň last Tuesday. Fortunately, none of the passengers aboard the bus was injured. The boy's father, who was with him at the time, reportedly lent the boy his illegally held weapon. The 35-year-old man has also been charged with endangering public safety, for which he could get 3 to 8 years in prison. His son faces a lighter sentence. A KLM flight from Athens to Amsterdam made an emergency landing at Prague Airport on Thursday after declaring an emergency due to a cracked cockpit window, the Aviation Herald reported. The incident happened at a height of 12,000 kilometres. Pilots are reported to have donned their oxygen masks and started an emergency descent. The plane, a Boeing 737, landed safely on Prague's runway shortly after. No one was reported injured. Dvůr Králové Zoo is opening the first lion safari in Central and Eastern Europe this weekend. Visitors will be able to drive their cars down a 500-meter-long road cutting across the nature reserve, where 3 male lions or 4 female lions roam free. Originally, keepers let all the lions into the reserve at the same time, but after several conflicts, they had to be separated. The safari, which has been in trial operation for the past 2 weeks, cost 18 million Czech crowns. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be sunny to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 20 and 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, filmmakers in Karlovy Vary have presented the upcoming feature film Anthropoid about the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, featuring Irish actor Jamie Dornan. We have the roundup of this week's business news, and later on in the program we talk about the villa that was once owned by the Čapek brothers. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The team behind the upcoming feature film Anthropoid, which tells the story of the famous 1942 assassination of acting Reichsprotector Reinhard Heydrich, assembled at the Karlovy Vary Film Festival to promote the project, set to begin filming this summer in the Czech Republic. The film will star Jamie Dornan and Cillian Murphy as the legendary Czech and Slovak assassins responsible for the highest profile killing of a Nazi official during the Second World War. Dominic Yoon has more.
I'm here. The assassination of Reinhard Heydrich has been fodder for a number of previous filmmakers. In 1964, Czech director Jiří Sekvens brought the classic film Attentat to the big screen. Regarded as a taut, well-executed thriller, perhaps the most remarkable aspect of this film is that it managed to remain faithful to the true story of the assassins Josef Gabčík and Jan Kubiš, who were parachuted into Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia from Britain and attacked Heydrich as he travelled in an open-top car in a Prague suburb. Made during the communist era, Attentat miraculously managed to avoid regime pressures to tone down the Western contribution to the defeat of the Nazis in favour of the Soviet one. Hollywood has also told this story on three separate occasions, twice in 1943, and also more directly via the 1975 Lewis Gilbert film Operation Daybreak. Now, British writer-director Sean Ellis is set to bring this latest adaptation, Anthropoid, to cinemas in 2016. At a press conference in Karlovy Vary, Ellis spoke of his vision for the film.
So for me, that it felt right. It felt like the next film that I wanted to make. I also wanted to make it very sort of contained and emotional piece. I didn't really see it as sort of a big, grand war epic, because I think the actions of the people involved are epic and the emotions are epic. And I felt that if I could tell the story on a very small scale in that sense, that would be the way to tell this story, you know, the people actually involved in the Czech resistance at the time.
Ellis also underscored that the film will seek to be as authentic as possible, but lamented that modern Prague was becoming increasingly difficult to use as a historical location. He then described his own visit to the Cyril and Methodius Church in Prague's Reslova Street, which concealed the assassins until they were tracked down by the SS, leading to a final desperate gun battle.
All the actions has been very interesting, and just to walk the church and note where all the bullet holes and hand grenades went off and to recreate that, because we have a one-to-one rebuild of the church, so it's a complete one-to-one scale of the church on a soundstage. So to be able to rig the action as we know it to happen, it's been very, it's a pleasant process for a filmmaker.
The film is a co-production involving the US, UK, France and the Czech Republic. David Ondříček, son of the famous cinematographer Miroslav Ondříček, is serving as co-producer. Additionally, Czech actress Anna Geislerová is set to play Gabčík's partner.
Dominic Yoon with that report. And now I'm joined in the studio by Chris Johnston with a summary of this week's business news.
Czech e-commerce sales rose by 20% in the second quarter of the year compared with the same period in 2014, according to a survey by the consultancy Acomware. The same pace of growth is expected for the next 3 months. For the first time, purchases over mobile phones surpassed those on tablets. Top e-commerce purchases are electronic and children's items and household goods.
Hainan Airlines, the first Chinese carrier to launch direct flights to Prague, has filled in details of its plan to launch services from Beijing. 3 flights a week from the Chinese capital will start on the 23rd of September with return tickets priced at just over 14,000 crowns. The start of direct services between Prague and Beijing has been billed as a great opportunity for the Czech Republic to boost trade with China and rebalance some of the enormous trade deficit with the country.
Trees amounting to 100,000 cubic metres of timber were felled in recent storms across the country, mainly in the Olomouc and Pardubice regions, the State Forestry Company announced on Thursday. That amounts to about 1% of the planned annual timber production, which is expected to reach 7.67 million cubic metres this year. The total extent of the devastation is still being assessed. Authorities in the regions hardest hit by storms have warned visitors not to walk in forests. The worst damage was recorded in 2007 when Hurricane Kirill caused over 5 million cubic metres of wood to come on the market.
Some 90% of Czech children own a mobile phone by the age of 12, according to a study carried out by NMS Market Research. Most Czech kids get their first mobile phone between the age of 8 and 10, and nearly two-fifths have had 5 or more telephones by the age of 19. The majority of children, 39%, spend on average 60 minutes a day on the phone, while 18% use it for more than 180 minutes. Children mostly use their phones for sending text messages and for calling, as well as for listening to music and taking pictures. Some 74% of Czech children admitted to using their phone during classes.
And finally, every third house in the Czech Republic has a private swimming pool in its backyard. A survey carried out by the Czech gardening and outdoor equipment chain Mountfield suggests. The survey points out that there are between 360,000 to 400,000 privately owned swimming pools in the Czech Republic, and the same number of inflatable pools. Czechs belong among Europe's leaders in terms of private pools per head. According to figures from the European Union Swimming Pool and Spa Association from 2012, Czechs are placed third in EU in terms of the number of private swimming pools per head, trailing only Italy and Spain.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, specialists have been conducting an extensive inventory of items at a villa in Prague 10, which was once owned by the writer Karel Čapek and his brother Josef. Included on the list is a trove of original sketches, drawings and handwritten letters found in a secret safe. Jan Wellinger spoke to Hasan Zahirovic, an expert on Čapek's work, who is taking part in the project, about the documents as well as his own fascination with the author of War with the Newts.
Karel Čapek, he's been my greatest author for years. While I was in Bosnia and Herzegovina, my country, I've been into Karel Čapek, of course, a lot. And then doing my post-graduation study in the Czech Republic, I was more and more involved. And I am, not just was, more involved into the life and the definitely first work of brothers Čapek. Of course, as I said, a big honor by for me when Prague 10, who bought villa last year, offered me such an opportunity to work with a great team by Národní památkový ústav or National Heritage team of the Czech Republic. You know, the villa and all interior looks like Karel Čapek really left it yesterday, and it's almost next year is going to be 90 years of the time when Karel Čapek and his brother Josef start to live in a villa. Especially the second part and the last floor of the villa, the third floor where is a work room and a room of Patečníci who were the first intellectuals of the Czech Republic at that time, in the period between the two world wars. Especially this part is really the same as Karel Čapek left it yesterday.
That includes original furniture, artwork, and so on?
Right. As I heard, till 2008, while there used to live Sonja Šajnplugova, who was the mother of the last owner of the villa, and she even forbid the visitors to even take photos of the villa. So some of the paintings were sold because, of course, it was private. But anyway, really all furnitures, decorations, so on, are really after Karel Čapek. And there is no doubt about 70% of the things dating to Karel Čapek or his wife, Olga Šajnplugova.
It really strikes me as remarkable because I can't think of a similar incident when it would be reported that something would be so well kept throughout the years that it would be untouched. Is that anything
right.
You've ever come across in your experience?
I guess, you know, his wife knew at that time that the house definitely was going to be a great museum for the Czech history. And I think Olga Šajnplugova, after Karel Čapek's death, in some point left all those things, begging the people after her to really take care of the things. She used to live there from 1938 till 1960 and something. And so I think she really wanted to people to leave most of the things in the villa, as she took care of those things after author's death.
The biggest news coming out in recent days is that there was an unknown safe or a secret safe which contained unknown or previously unknown letters, as well as original drawings. I'd like to ask about those.
As I said a few days ago for some interview, Karel Čapek didn't just write the detective stories. He also lived the detective's life, because there are so many tiny places in the villa, and this most precious place for us is this treasure where we found lots of handwritings left by Karel Čapek. I must say, most of those handwritings, especially the letters to Olga Scheinflugova and talking to Masaryk, they've been published a few times in the past, but the precious things about those handwritings is that they're original and they were not sold out. As it is known that most of the handwritings by Karel Čapek is somewhere. Karel Čapek didn't take care about his handwritings. So most of those handwritings were already published. But the maybe by those things or by his work that were published but not that well known are notebooks with Čapek's drawings. So we just know from his travel books the final paintings or final drawings by some countrysides or people. But as I said, we found notebooks with lots of preparation for the final drawings.
I also understand that some of the letters were from his brother at a time when he was already in a concentration camp. Could you tell me there that material
is? Sure. You know, the population in the Czech Republic, they know that some paintings by Josef Čapek were sold from the villa. It's a private thing, but we found also a few drawings by Josef Čapek in the villa also. He not sent, but his friend from a concentration camp sent to Josef Čapek's family. That's the one thing. And the second thing, he was sending some greetings card for Easter and New Year to Olga Scheinflugova. And actually, he didn't write a thing, just sign with his nickname Pecha. But he actually wanted to say that he is alive. And I read the comment by someone on the internet that the Germans actually persuade Josef Čapek to do that. No, I had the worry in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and I was in the war 4 years, and I have so many letters by my cousin who were killed, and so I really understand the point of those cards. For me, maybe it was the hardest moment in working in the villa.
What is the outline now? How long is this process going to take, and when will members of the public be able to see some of these items, or perhaps all of them, exhibited?
Wow, that's a difficult question, because we actually plan it to finish till September this year. But as the days are passing by, we found more and more things. So and actually, the court judgment who is supposed for those things, he said, we are not in a hurry. And I mean, we are in the hurry, but in some point, it's better to take some time to really definite this work in some point. As you said, it's not easy thing to do this, because you need to make the list the first, then you need to in some point return the things back, because we are not museums and we are not the people who are going to be responsible for the blah after we do this inventory. I think this question would be better for Prague 10, who bought a villa, and their owners. So we are doing our best to do our work and to tell the people that Prague 10 really did a big thing to buy this villa, and in some point after, as you said, so many years to save such a treasure. And I'm also surprised, as a foreigner, I'm also surprised that this event, this villa, waited for so many years.
Hasan Zahirovic, an expert on Čapek's work, talking there to my colleague Jan Wellinger. And that edition of The Arts, which was first broadcast in December last year, brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franjková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.